Moses seems to have spent most of his life in the midst of a melancholy multitude of moaners. And on that cheerful subject, you might wonder, why are we going to have a sermon about Moses and the moaners? And so I'd like to start in the New Testament, in the letter of James. So if you would like to look at it, some of it's on the screen, but it's from James chapter 5. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So we look at the life of Moses to find examples of patience in the face of suffering. Those moaners, they carped and complained and criticized. They whinged and they whined. They sighed about their sorrows. They wailed about their woes. They muttered and they murmured. They grumbled and they groaned. They moaned and moaned and moaned and moaned. I'm going to limit it to only 7 moans. There are more moans in the Bible, but I'm going to start with, there's moan number 1, moaning about the Egyptian army. And this comes from Exodus chapter 13. So as we go through Exodus and Numbers, we will see that they moaned and moaned and moaned. Exodus chapter 13 on pages 70 and 71. So picking up Exodus 13 verse 10. Chapter 14, verse 10, on page 71. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians, marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'?" I don't remember that bit. "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So there's Moses, there's the people. The people are moaning. This time it's about the Egyptian army, and it's about saying, you know, we really don't want to go through this difficult time. We just rather like what we were comfortable with. There might have been a few things, you know, that weren't so good, and we might have been moaning back then, but, you know, please, we don't want to face all of this. And to be fair, it was pretty terrifying. They knew that the Pharaoh of Egypt was extremely angry with them, and he had a big grudge, and he wanted all his slave labor back again, and there didn't seem to be much of a way out because they had the army on front of them and the Red Sea behind them, and how were they going to escape? But Moses, in the face of that moaning, he said to the people, don't be afraid, stand firm, you'll see the deliverance the Lord's going to bring. And was very, very positive in the face of their moaning. Moaning number two. Moaning about the bitter water. So they go through the Red Sea, God delivers them, fantastic. They sing a song about it, they're very pleased and happy about it. And then chapter 15 and verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. And you'll see a footnote, Marah means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So here's another moaning. When we finally do find water, it tastes really horrible. I don't know if you've ever drunk horrible tasting water. Sometimes in the desert, you sort of have to. I remember going to a place where the water was really a bit horrible. People had to kind of sanitize it or take the salt out of it. It had been converted from seawater. And in doing so, it had gone through, I don't know, some really rubbery pipes and some chlorine-y stuff. You don't really want to drink the water. You want to make it into tea or something. And then tea tastes horrible. And I remember another time when I had some horrible water. We went to this spring. And it said, this water is supposed to be really, really healthy for you. It's a spa. And it's got lots of good things in it. And they had some little cups, and the cups were tiny. They were about the size of what we have our communion glasses in. And I thought, that's a bit mingy to only give me that. So I filled up two or three, you know. And then I had the first one, and I realised why you don't want to drink that stuff. It's full of things that are supposed to be good for you, but boy, they not really taste very nice. They moaned. They moaned about the bitter water. That is why the place is called Bitter, Marah. And they said to Moses, what are we to drink? And Moses cried out to the Lord. So Moses didn't actually know what the answer was, but he knew who had the answer. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. And we, looking at that with New Testament eyes, we say, the wood. Jesus died on a piece of wood. That has so much to tell us. But I'm not going there at the moment. I'm talking about moaning. Moaning and how Moses reacted to it. Moaning number three, they moaned about the food. So this is just a few verses ahead. We're now into chapter 16. And the people had come out and they said, I'm missing out one bit of moaning here. The Israelites said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And then God supplied the manna and God supplied the quail. But in verse 16, they're back to moaning again. Chapter 1, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, and the 15th day after the second month after they come out of Egypt in the desert, they grumbled. And the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. So in the midst of that moaning, God had a word for Moses. God supplied everything that they needed. But it can't have been easy for Moses. He seems to have been always the one who they moaned at. Number four, moaning about water. They camped at Rephidim. So this is now chapter 17. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses replied, Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Moses, again, not quite sure what to do when the people are quarreling. And he said, really, why are you picking on me? It's not me. This is God's purpose that we're involved in. We're going, doing what the Lord has commanded. Why do you put the Lord to the test? But they grumbled against Moses. And Moses cried out, what am I to do? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord gives him this answer about striking the rock with the staff. Moaning about waiting. So if we skip ahead a little bit to Exodus chapter 24. And in Exodus chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. So they have now wandered around in the desert, and they've got to Mount Sinai, and Moses has gone up onto the mountain of God. So verse 13, Moses set out with Joshua, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord said to Moses, and it gave him all these instructions. But if we go to chapter 25, lots of chapters ahead, they started moaning. The people saw that Moses was so long coming down from the mountain. They gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Moaning about him. So that's chapter 32. So all the chapters in between are about what God was saying to Moses in 40 days, and there's quite a lot of it. But we get to chapter 32, verse 1, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down together, they started moaning about having to wait for 40 days. Now, Moses had told them to wait. He said the purpose of it. He explained it all. I mean, this is what we try and do with kids, isn't it? You know, surely they won't be so upset if we explain exactly what's going on. They moaned. Moan number 6. They moaned about the promised land. So this is in Numbers. So you have to skip ahead a little bit to get through Leviticus and come to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. So this is on page 150, Numbers chapter 14. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt. So the situation is, they're getting to the edge of the promised land. They've sent in the spies to say, what's this like? What's this promised land like? You know, where should we attack first? What's it looking like? What's the lie of the land? And so on. And these spies come back. There's 12 of them. And 10 of them say, oh, gosh, you know, it's very well fortified there. It's a nice place, but, you know, the people, gosh, they're so tall. They look so strong. I'm not sure that we could really fight against them. Lovely place, but, oh, no. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, well, if God wants us to go there, we can go there. And we will go there. And God will be with us. But that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why has the Lord bring us to this land? Only to let us fall by the sword. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? We should choose a leader. Go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So right at the end, when you could almost see the promised land was actually in sight, and they actually had some physical things, we're not wandering around the desert, we're nearly there. And then they started moaning. And again, Moses and Aaron didn't actually have an answer other than it was then Joshua and Caleb who had the faith to say God is going to bring us through. And the seventh moan was moaning about the lack of fruit. So this is from Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, in the first month the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, this wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no corn, or figs, grapevines, or pomegranates. And there is no water to drink. They seem to be more fussed about the grapes and the pomegranates than they were about the water. They got used to living without water, but they now decided they couldn't get used to living without pomegranates. And this time, this seventh moan that I'm explaining to you, you see in verse 1, Miriam died and was buried. Miriam was Moses' sister. So there can't have been a nice time for Moses that Miriam died, and then the people moaned yet again. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron went up from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them. And I think Moses had just about had enough. He went to God and God said, you know, just speak to this rock and the rock will pour out water. And he didn't actually do that. He thought he would strike it twice and teach these rebels a lesson and show them who could do look after them, and why hadn't they had any faith, and why had they been quarrelling with him. And his sister had just died, and he just snapped, really. And so, much as Moses is a fantastic example to us, we see that he also was pretty human. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking through my father's letters. My father wrote letters to his father, who kept them. And there's a great pile of letters, and I've inherited them. And I was looking through them because we were trying to work out something to do with my brother's health and about the time he was born. I was looking through them, and I came across this thing. And my father would write these little things for the family and said, the kids are growing up. John is now, I don't know, 3 or 4 speaking. And I came across him, and John was trying to talk to some flies and get them to do what he wanted them to do. And he was not having very much success. And he said to me, "Daddy, why isn't this fly doing what I tell it to do?" So I said to him, "Well, John, they don't understand your language, our language." "Oh." So apparently what I said was, "Well, do rocks understand our language?" And my father said, "No, they don't understand our language, John." And I said, "So why did God tell Moses to speak to the rock?" So, obviously at that age I had a very theological understanding of these things. But you'll see that what he was commanded to do was just to speak to the rock. And to speak to the rock, and it was a demonstration of God being in control. He was not to strike the rock with his staff and show that Moses was in control. He was to speak to the rock. And he didn't do it. He snapped when they moaned about the lack of pomegranates. And Jesus told a parable about the moaners. This is in Matthew chapter 20. I'm sure you know about the parable. This is a parable where Jesus said somebody went out to the marketplace to hire some workers for his vineyard. And he agreed a price with them, and they went and worked in his vineyard. And then he went again. So he probably went first thing, I don't know, 6 a.m. to get some workers. And then at 9 a.m. he went again and said, "Oh, I think I need some more workers. Anybody here want a job? All right, I'll agree. This is the wage I'll give you. Off you go." And then he went again at midday and got some more people. And he went again at 3. Well, at the end of the day, they all came to be paid. And he paid them. With the ones who'd started last, he paid them first. So the ones that started 3 in the afternoon, he paid them. Then he paid the 12 o'clock ones. Then he paid, and so on. When those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last only worked 1 hour," they said. "And you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." And you can read more about what Jesus said in his parable there. But it's a parable about moaners, that we look at other people and we moan that we're not being treated equally and God isn't fair. And another moaner that Jesus described in his parables is the older brother. You know, "Why is this younger brother getting the fatted calf killed? You never even gave me a goat." Moan, moan, moan. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." The reason that we have all these chapters and chapters and chapters of moaning in the Bible is as examples for us. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That's why it's in the Bible, to teach us by an example, but also to encourage us that God is not going to give us a temptation that we can't get out of, that he can't get us out of. He is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. We don't feel like we can bear it. I mean, the people of Israel were saying, oh, I can't bear this. Oh, this horrible water. Oh, this, oh, this, oh, that, oh, the other. You sometimes feel you can't bear it, but it says here, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can endure it. So in this passage, there are seven things for us to learn, seven lessons for us to learn. You can have a look at them as you look through 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Do not be ignorant. Don't set your hearts on evil things. Do not be idolaters. We should not commit sexual immorality. We should not test Christ. And do not grumble. If you think you are standing firm, you know, I never grumble. Be careful that you don't fall. And I'd like to finish with a quote from Philippians chapter 2. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. That little bit in quotes, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, is a quote from Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Do everything without grumbling. Don't moan.